with me. Twenty-eight years ago when I started doing this, it was kind of a nice thing to do. Now, with the way things have been going with the churches, it makes me realize it was definitely a God thing all the way through, because some of them can't say this anymore. Let's hold it up and say together, this is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. This is the Word of God, and I know that it's true. All right, if you'd remain standing with me, please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It'd be great if you turn in your Bible, but if you want to follow Paul's work here on the PowerPoint, that'd be great too. Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 19. We're going to talk about the church. The title really is Faith in the Church. Can we kill the monitors, maybe? Did? All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Shall we pray? Lord, once again, we turn to your word for wisdom and, Lord, for strength. And pray, Lord, that as we look at your word, your Holy Spirit will illuminate it to our hearts and our minds. Pray, Lord, that this message would be anointed as it comes forth. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of it is Faith in the Church. The Church of Jesus Christ is the center of God's activity in this world. The center of God's activity in this world. You're sitting here and you're experiencing the worship and you're experiencing the things, but you probably didn't really not on your mind that this is, that the Church of Christ is the center of God's activity in the world. There are angels in the world. We talked about that. They're not the center of God's activity in the world. Jesus chose to leave the church behind to do his work until he returns. How many parables do we see in the Bible about how that the vineyard keeper or the landowner is going to return and to see what benefits have come out of what he left behind, is his property, what he owns. And the church belongs to Christ, and this is where it all is generated. That's why the devil works so hard to try to take churches down. Whether it's a slow boil in the water, frog in the water type thing, or whether it's a sudden disaster type thing, but the devil has the churches in his crosshairs. Now, it's not so easy to do. It's not so easy for the devil to take the church down. Unlike the temple of Jerusalem that was destroyed, all of those big blocks that were built, and they were built centuries or many, many, many years before, the disciples looked at it and said, look at the temple. Isn't this awesome? And Jesus said, you tear it down, and in 3 days I'll build it back. That's not what he was talking about. He was talking about himself when he went, was crucified, and he was buried in the ground, and he rose again. But that thought crossed their mind. How in the world can you build this temple in 3 days? God, it's not so easy for the devil to take the church down, because the church is built to be indestructible. There is a local congregation that may close. There are denominations that may cease to exist. But the Church of Jesus Christ is built by Christ himself, and is indestructible. And you are part of it. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. The first thing we're going to talk about is in relationship to the church in Ephesians here. There is, we find a wonderfully extensive teaching on the church in Ephesians. We're going to hit a few of those points. We're going to hit Christ building the church in the first place. I mean, how many know that it has a lot to do with who builds it and how it's built, how it endures, right? Christ building the church. The second one is Christ as the body, or the church as the body of Christ. And the second one, church as the bride of Christ. I hope I get to that part, because the wedding that we had, it always reminds me of the relationship between us, the church, and Jesus. Now, as far as building the church, back to the first point, as far as the building of the building, Christ putting the church together, we see here in Ephesians, starting with verse 19 again of chapter 2. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. I'm trying to get mobile here. Now therefore, maybe I will read it. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, having been built on a foundation. As we look at the scripture and as we look at this, let's go back to verse 11, clear back to verse 11. It says, therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision made in the flesh. Does that make sense? Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. This is how Jesus began to build the church in the first place. We're going to go back in a little bit of this history of building of this temple of God, building of the church of Jesus Christ, because it helps us, it reminds us to be able to, helps us to be able to understand why it is indestructible. Jesus, in the beginning, chose the Israelites, chose the Jewish people to be his chosen people. But it was all with a master plan of expanding that. Early on, obviously, God knew what he was going to do. But he showed the world how awesome he was and how great he is to the people that he calls his own, and made the rest of the world really want to be his chosen people. And when Jesus came, it happened. The door was opened. That middle wall was taken down. There's no longer animosity or enmity between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles are brought in. And now, Jesus has some really, a lot of building blocks. The Gentiles and the Jews are now building blocks. And we're going to get to that here in just a second, to build his church. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, contained in the ordinances, so that he created in himself one new man from the two, Jews and Gentiles, thus making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body. There isn't two churches. There isn't another church. There's only the church of Jesus Christ. All people that are his are all part of that same church, that same body, that same bride, that same building. They're all part of it. Whether they're in Africa, you know, whether they're in India, whether they're here in the United States, it doesn't matter. Isn't that an amazing thing? We see lines, we see colors, we see boundaries, we see all of these things, but God just sees his church in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Verse 17, and he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off, that would be us Gentiles, and those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And now we get into our text. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers, fellow citizens. And go down to verse 20. Having been built on the foundation, here's Jesus, this is how he built it. Having been built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, we don't think much about that, do we? Now, we think about this church, and we know in 1985 this place became officially a church, according to the state of Minnesota. That's not too long ago for as churches go. But somewhere along the line, and some of you were there for this, there were some people that made some sacrifices and made some decisions and decided that there needed to be, they felt the call of God to put a church in the city of Madison. So they prayed about it, and they came up with a plan of action. The church didn't just happen. Somebody had to give of their time. Somebody had to give of their resources. We have founding fathers in this from this church. There are people that founded this church. If you were here when the church first started, just stand up for a second. Were you here? We got three. All right, thank you. Give them a hand. Yeah. When the church started, now we have a legacy. People started this. The church is probably different. Well, it is different than it was when it started. And that's the point. You put it together, you turn it over, you know, you turn it over to God, and it begins to go and it begins to grow, and God begins to lead it and guide it. You don't want it to be in the same place it was when you first started. But we think back, we don't think too often about that legacy of the people who were part of this. I said the same thing in Clarkfield. That goes back a lot farther. There wasn't anybody that could stand up there and say we were here when it started, because it started way, way long time ago. But in the same manner, we think about the Church of Jesus has a legacy, and the apostles, breathed on by the Holy Spirit, told the story, recounted to us through the Word of God about Jesus. Now, when Jesus was here, he was it. He was the central. And you know what? Now that he's gone, he's still it. He's the central. It says that the next thing it says here is that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. The apostles and the prophets were the foundation. I wouldn't have, if somebody would have said, who's the foundation of the church to me just off the cuff, I'd have said Jesus. They just said probably, yeah, that's good. But in this account, Paul says that the forefathers of the church, the ones who made this sacrifice, most of them died for their faith. We have to remember that that's part of our legacy. There is blood that was spilt besides Jesus' blood in order for us to be where we're at. If the disciples would have stayed in the upper room after the Holy Ghost fell on them and they kept it a secret, they would have all died and we would have all missed heaven. But in God's plan, with the help of the Holy Spirit, these normal, common people became dynamos for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are countless millions of people probably that have died for their faith. The foundation, but the cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the cornerstone, when it is laid down to build the building around it, everything else has to come square off that cornerstone. That cornerstone sets the perimeters or sets the lines for how the building is going to be built. That's the way it is with Jesus Christ. He set the direction. He set the lines. He set the perimeters. And the church still today, if a church is not, if Jesus is not the cornerstone, if he is not the head, it's not a church. It might be a club, it might be something else, but it's not a church. So we have to remember that the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ is the apostles and the prophets. The prophetic helps by the Holy Spirit to apply the teachings of the apostles to a particular situation in the church. Very important part of the foundation. But then it goes on to say that we are also involved. Verse 16, where am I at? Oh, there we go. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built, in whom you also are being built together. How many think that part of that building process is unity? There needs to be some unity and uniformity in the building blocks. Uniformity, I mean, by conforming to the gospel of Jesus Christ, conforming to the truth of the Word of God. But part of that process of building is bringing them together. Annette did a great job of talking about that just a little bit earlier. We can all be a block on our own, right? But Jesus Christ intended it for us to be one of the building stones in this temple that he's building called the church. And so each one of us, you know, this is kind of a crazy thought, but just visualize this. You have this big building. I mean, we're talking really big. It's made out of building blocks. And every one of those building blocks is a Christian. And you can imagine being, you know, indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but then the presence of God moves into this building, and you're one of the blocks. You're up, what, second row from the top, so you got a good view. And the presence of God comes into this big temple. And the blocks are going to be praising God. And this is the temple that God wants. Not just what's in our hearts, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but built together for something greater and larger. Remember, the center of activity of God in this world, in whom the building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You see, sometimes we get the feeling as Christians that we are not really a part of anything bigger. We feel like we're kind of off on our own. And the truth of the matter is, we are part of something far, far bigger. We are just one block. Even though that one sheep in Jesus' parable is worth the Lord's effort to reach, we are one part of his church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and join to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We talked about it a little bit at the wedding. A relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of different ways to try to explain how you get saved. But I like the illustration of a bride and a groom. They stood in front of everybody and they said their vows and they made a pledge to each other to be faithful and to be true to each other until death do us part. That's pretty simple to say. It's a lot tougher to do. The same thing, when we become a Christian, it's kind of like the wedding. And we talked about this at the wedding. Jesus is already standing at the altar. He's already made his preparation. He's already ready for the wedding. For those that have come, we become the brides of Christ. For those that haven't, he stands at the altar waiting yet with his arms out for them to come. But when you become a Christian, it's just as simple as that. You go to the altar with Jesus, who's already made his vows to you. All you have to do to consummate that relationship is make your vows with him. And you come to the altar and you say, I do. I pledge my troth to thee. I had to look up trough. I didn't even know what it meant. Can't remember now even. But it's, you know, part of the King James stuff. But we make a commitment to Jesus Christ. He's already made a commitment to us, and that's the relationship that we have with Him. And you know how it is when somebody's unfaithful in a marriage. You know how destructive that can be and how hurtful it is to the other person. Well, Jesus feels the same way when we're not faithful to Him. When we break those vows, when we choose to be unfaithful, that hurts Him too. So we have a great, wonderful opportunity to have a beautiful relationship. But the nice thing about Jesus is, unlike some spouses, if we repent, He'll forgive us, right? Every time. Then the danger is taking advantage of that grace and that mercy. We have to be careful not to do that. So we are part of that building that Christ has put together, the Church of Jesus Christ, put together from the foundation up. We are part of that. We are part of it because we're part of the body of Christ. We become like a husband and wife. We become one flesh with Him. That's what the Bible says over and over. It says, Jesus said, I'm in, the Father's in me, and I'm in Him, and you are in me, and I'm in you. That's a mystery. That's what that passage of Scripture said. It's a mystery. How can that be? But it is. If you touch yourself in the back of the hand, part of God is in you. We're not gods, okay? I'm not saying that. But part of Him is in us, and part of us is in Him. And then we become the brides. How blessed are you? How blessed are you that we can have that kind of a relationship with God? And guess what? The devil's trying to mess it all up, right? I mean, that's what he does every day, all day long. He's a little jealous of our relationship with God. And he'd like to break us up. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had that old sly dog around your door saying, hey, baby, why don't you come with me? I can show you a good time. We're going to close with that. Just a reminder that we have faith in Christ, but we also need to have some faith in the Church of Christ. It is His project. It is his vehicle that He left behind in His place to do the work of Christ. Are we doing the work of Christ? This is a whole nother sermon, but I'm going to make it just like a minute. What are we doing? If I told you that the world was going to end tomorrow, if I knew that, and I said the world's going to end tomorrow, but the Lord wants you to bring somebody with you. You have to go find somebody today and tell them that Jesus is coming back tomorrow and they need to get right now because you need to take them with you. Just a thought. We're going to pray. Could I have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, please? Perhaps there's someone here this morning that would say, I've really never made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Not like you're talking about. I know of Him, but I don't know Him in an intimate way like you're talking about a wedding, a commitment. But you kind of know by the Spirit's prompting in your heart, that's the way that it should be. If that's you this morning, you would like to make that kind of a commitment, just slip your hand up and I'll see it. No one else is looking around. I'll know who to pray for. Anyone? I'd like to make that kind of commitment to the Lord. I'm assuming I'm preaching to the choir, but you can never assume those things when the Lord's at work. One more thing. Perhaps the devil has really kind of beat you down about your importance in the body of Christ, your importance in the building of the temple, your importance as the bride of Christ. He's just been giving you a big line of hooey. And you really need some prayer today. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I'll know who to pray for. Anyone? I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand and that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Several people lifted their hands this morning. That's a God thing. You didn't get that out of what I said. You get out of what the Lord spoke to your heart. So I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I just pray for those that would genuinely like to see the bigger picture. Themselves and you in unity as one. Lord, as your special project, as part of something much bigger than themselves, part of the plan of God, part of the center of the activity in this world, of God's activity. I pray, Lord, you'd give them Holy Ghost boldness to reach out and to touch somebody for Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would change that person's life too. Lord, we just want to be ready when you come. I pray, Lord, that you would help us make those adjustments that we need to make with your help and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Paul's going to come make the dreaded announcements.
All right, if you look in your bulletins, just a few things. I don't think this is said enough. Joni does a great job with our church website. I hope you go to it often. It's cbcmadison.org. It's in your bulletin there. Put it in your favorites and check that. I'll just go a few. Number one, the baptismal service that was announced via the email this week has been canceled. Sunday school classes resume Sunday, September 18th, and Adventure Club and Youth Group on that next Wednesday. So look forward to that. Be praying about that. And Jeff is gonna talk about the building committee here a little bit.
Gary's got a quick word for you first.
Yeah, we got some cake left over from the wedding yesterday, and after today, it's going to be just Evan and Annette and I to eat it, and we don't want to eat all that cake, so we brought it with, so please come back to the A-frame and get a piece of cake. So.
It's good. I had just one piece yesterday. I was looking at the rest of them. Building, yeah, you should have gotten email this week. Those of you who get email, just talking about the building. We've had some pictures and stuff up here the last few weeks. We do have copies of the plans on the back table there that hopefully will help you see how that situates. Because what happens is the building committee, we're kind of at a point where we need some input from you. It's not like the building committee decide what we're going to do and we want you to rubber stamp, but we want your input. One, how much of a project you want to do, if any. I mean, there's an option, too, to just say, you know, don't think we should build it this time. And also we need some input as far as financially how much you're willing to commit to a building project. We hope, you know, we've talked about this since last April, May. We hope you've prayed about it some. If you don't know exactly, this isn't a final pledge. This isn't a final vote to build, but we need your input so we can plan. Otherwise, the building committee is thinking, you know, maybe you want to do a $500,000 project, and someone was thinking about maybe repainting the A-frame, and we need to get on the same wavelength. Plus, the board needs to know. We've looked at the A-frame. Part of this is the A-frame should have been shingled a year or two ago. We've kind of been holding off to see what we do with the building thing, and we need some input so that we know whether we're doing a project or what the timing would be so that we can, take care of the church's resources and property accordingly. So I think Gary and Dan are going to hand out these questionnaires. We would like to get them back today before you leave, because we know if you take them home, we probably won't ever see them again. There's a box on the back table by those plans. We ask you just to put that questionnaire in there. It asks you, you know, what kind of a plan you'd like to pursue, also a financial commitment. There's a place for comments, which we welcome your comments. We need your comments. We prefer you write them down so we have them in writing. Also, you know, talk to anybody on the building committee if you've got questions or thoughts or input, because we just need that. So thank you.